As Larry said, there are 24 senators. We don't need all 24. We need 13. Just 13. That's it. If all of them are contacted by folks who are concerned, it doesn't matter that you're not their constituents, because they know that this thing's infectious. The protests, the opposition started here, and it spread downstate. And believe me, it has spread like wildfire. People on the right-of-way that exists are looking at wooden poles right now with the transmission line. Those poles are 40 to 50 feet high. In many places, these towers will triple that. If you go to the Northern Pass website, they talk about the tower heights. In Easton, for instance, they've acknowledged the towers coming through Easton and into the White Mountain National Forest will be a minimum of 120 feet high. A minimum of 120 feet high. That's because the right-of-way is narrow. They've said they're going to tear up the existing wooden poles down there, and they're going to put in steel towers for the existing line, and then the really big steel towers for the new line. It's not going to look the same. It's not going to look like the wooded area. It's not going to look like it's just a 150-foot wide clear cut, or in some cases, a little less. These towers are going to become the focal point of the White Mountain National Forest as it runs through Easton, Franconia, and down into Thornton and below. The folks there are just now realizing what's happening, and we are, I'm going to call us the tip of the spear. If we can stop them in Coos County, they can't go down below and ruin the rest of the state. And they know it down there. So where have we been? We started meetings 1 year ago in this building. We set Concord back a little bit with our resolve. We appeared in mass at hearings. We appeared before the governor in some meetings. We did a lot. But we really didn't know what we were doing back then, and we didn't have any real clear idea what we were up against. What we're up against are multi-million or multi-billion dollar enterprises, and they're spending money like drunken sailors right now. You've all seen the ads in the paper. These are just little quarter-page ads. Some of them have been full-page ads. This week, we were visited by the folksy Cherie on behalf of Northern Pass. Cherie is an environmental consultant, and she wants to change the world. She really thinks that renewable power from Canada is a good thing. She thinks that our society needs to rely on sustainable power, and this gives us the opportunity, she says, to say, yes, we want sustainable energy, and that's something we're committing to. All sounds pretty good, doesn't it? The only problem is, it's foreign power. The only problem is, they're flooding entire areas of the northern boreal forest that used to be the lungs of the planet. And they're putting them underwater and taking away part of the lungs of the planet. In the course of this construction, they are digging and building things that we would never permit in the United States of America. These are Canadians doing what Canadians do best. They build, but they also destroy. And their environment is being destroyed as we speak because they think we're going to buy this power from them. And we don't want to do that. Now, let me go back to Cherie for a minute, just so you know how wonderfully folksy this really is and how Cherie's so sincere in her beliefs. Cherie works for an environmental consulting firm. I believe it's in northern Massachusetts. I can give you all the name. I don't have it with me right now. I can give you her last name, but I don't want to publicize that at the moment. And that environmental consulting firm works for guess who? PSNH. And what is she doing? She's going around to various towns and telling them how environmentally conscious PS&H is and how it's going to be a good steward of the land in the widening of, guess what? PS&H right-of-ways, yes. Not Northern Pass, but other ones. So is she independent? I guess I'll let you answer that. How sincere is it? I guess I'll let you answer that. How folksy is it? Not much. And she don't live here. So all of them, all these folks that are in the My New Hampshire ads have a place in the world. They have their rights to share their views with us. They have the rights to appear in the ads, whether they're paid or not. And I don't think many of them are paid. I think they truly believe what they're saying. However, when you come up here and you talk to people about what you believe, you also want to make sure they know where you're coming from. And the disclosure of an employment by PS&H, it seems to me, is like the first step in basic ethics when you're doing this stuff. And they're not doing it. That's who we're dealing with. And they've got more money to spend, folks. So here's the good news. We've been fighting them with our pennies and our ones and our twos. They've been spending millions and millions of dollars, and guess what? It's a fair fight. We're not alone. We've got a lot of allies. Conservation Law Foundation, the Nature Conservancy, the Appalachian Mountain Club, even the New England Power Generators have come out against Northern Pass. And not the least of our allies is the Society for the Preservation of New Hampshire Forests. The Forest Society is represented tonight by Will Abbott, and you're going to hear from him in a few minutes. They have been doing a wonderful job for us, folks, and Will talk a little bit about that, but he's very modest. They've devoted tremendous manpower and resources to making the Northern Pass story truthful and accessible to everybody. Will has spoken up and down the state, waking people up to what this is about. All right, what's happened to Northern Pass's schedule since we opposed them? It's been twice delayed. Delay's good because the facts on the ground change with delay. Facts on the grounds like it's far less costly to put these things underground. In fact, there's a proposal well along in the Champlain-Hudson Valley to put a high-voltage direct current line underground for and underwater for a distance that's longer than what Northern Pass is proposing, all the way down to New York City. There's another proposal that's just in its inception over in Maine, and that proposal, according to the proponents of it, will be entirely underground and possibly underwater out in the ocean if it's approved. The technology's there. They wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't there. What does Northern Pass tell us about undergrounding? Too expensive. Well, where's the study? They say it's going to cost 10 times. In fact, the transmission lines on either side of them are going to be done, according to the projections, for 1.5 to 2 times the cost. But look what we save. Look what we save with respect to the clear cutting of the forests alone. 40-foot wide right-of-way instead of 200, 220, 225, whatever they're going to try to get. So these things are out there, and as time goes by, more and more technologically feasible alternatives will appear. And the competition, frankly, will catch them too. So the question is delay good? I think it is. Eminent domain legislation, Larry's House Bill 648. You heard this, the House vote, he told you, overwhelming. This is a key to killing this transmission line right now, because there are people in this room, there are people in New Jersey, there are people downstate, there are people in California who are all telling Northern Pass, no, you can't have my land up here. I bought it for purposes of giving it to my children. I bought it for purposes of enjoying the beauty. I bought it for purposes of living here as a residence or retirement. This is a place I want to bring up my children. I don't want it changed. And it's not just us. It's people from out of state as well. You'll hear a little bit more about that. Even without eminent domain, and House Bill 648 is very important, even without it, we believe that any effort to take an unwilling landowner's land for this transmission line, as it's proposed, would be unconstitutional in New Hampshire. And there are people who are working on the initial steps necessary to bring that issue to court. I'm not going to take Will Abbott's thunder. I'm going to let him speak to that, because the Forest Society has, in fact, put its money where its mouth is, has hired lawyers, and Will can tell you what they're telling him. Okay, what's Northern Pass trying to do now? It's trying to find a new route through the North Country. They've said that. They said that last spring, but they wouldn't tell us where. Through the work of people like Rick Sampson and other dedicated town leaders, John Amy, and others who have interviewed landowners, gone through the tax maps in the towns, we have been able to put together a pretty good idea of where this new route is as it goes through Pittsburgh, Clarksville, Stewartstown, and Colebrook. From there, it's anyone's guess. Northern Pass has been very busy with its land agents quietly buying up property. I think they started with properties that were on their route that were initially for sale. Perhaps some of the sellers of those properties didn't know who they were dealing with, because Northern Pass isn't using its name to buy these properties. It's using generic names. It's using an old PS&H subsidiary called Properties, Inc. It's using a newly formed corporation formed in August of this year called Renewable Properties, Inc. Isn't that the word Cherie used? Renewable. So we've got Renewable Properties, Inc., and we've got Properties, Inc. There's some deeds that are recorded in the COAS registry in those names. If any of you know how to go online and use the COAS deed registry, you can do it right from your home. You just go to the grantee index and put in Properties, Inc., or just put in Properties in the blank. It'll come up with all the entities that have that as the first name. Or Renewable, it'll come up with all the entities that start with that. And you can go right down the index and find these transactions. They've all occurred in the last 5 months or so. So that's one way they've been buying property. They've also gone quietly to people who have been introduced to them by the land agents who knew them and who were their friends. They've asked for meetings not in a lawyer's office or in a office building, but at the landowner's home. They want to get into your home. And they want to have you meet with them alone without any help. Don't bring a friend. Don't bring a lawyer, because we've got some real serious money for you. That's what they're going to tell you. We'll talk a little bit more about that, but that's how they've been getting a hold of people. And some people, frankly, have been offered so much money that they have decided to sell. An equal number of people, or if not more, have decided not to sell. So I'd like to talk just a little bit about where this line's going and show you town by town where it is. If you could turn the lights down, Rick, we'll bring up that slide. What's on the board now is a the southern part of Pittsburgh in the on the left side, right in here. This is the Connecticut River and Route 3. The bridge on Route 3 over the Connecticut River is right about where I'm shakily holding this, what is this thing, a laser?
Pointer.
Pointer, there it is, okay. And this is the Canadian border right here. And just south of the orange line is the Vermont border as it comes right over to the river in here. For those of you that know the Washburn Forest, the major portion of the forest is up in here, and there's a little bit of it in here and along the river. Northern Pass, through Properties, Inc., purchased some property right in here in the southwest corner of Pittsburgh, just north of the Vermont line, from a company called Kings Arrow Realty Trust. So they have a foothold in here. They own it. They control it. They need property in this stretch here, which is pretty remote. And from what we're told, they don't have it yet. They may never get it. They want to cross the river right in here. The Forest Society might have some things to say about that. Back in here, they're trying to buy land that they haven't gotten yet. They have purchased some land along in here, at least we're told that there are contracts for it. But there are some brave landowners right in here saying no way. Going back into Clarksville, this is just north of Clarksville Pond here. They have some purchase agreements that we're told about. There are other people along that route that have said, I don't think so, at least not on your terms. They want to turn the corner right here and come south towards Stewartstown. Go ahead, Rick. There we go. This is Clarksville Pond right here and Clarksville Pond Road. This is where they want to come down into Stewartstown. We're going to hear later from Bill Weir, who has a blocking position right there. I believe, Bill, your property is right next to the conservation land of the Headwaters. Is that right? Right. So it's right in here is where Bill's property is. And he has been very vocal. He's told them no from the get-go. They want to come down and on an angle go over behind Mudgett Mountain. Mudgett is right in here. I'm told that there are people from Lancaster that own property in here that have declined to sell. They want to come down just skimming the Headwaters. I'm not sure if that's Headwaters or Coleman. I guess that's Headwaters there. And turn the corner, go over to Deadwater, and then down to, no, don't stay with that old one, Rick, for a second. They've approached Lynn Placey in this area here. They would like to have her property. She's told them no way. She's here, and she's going to speak to us tonight about her experience. Okay, Rick, let's...
So how far is this from the preferred route which they dropped?
I haven't measured it, Edith, in miles. But, Rick, if you go back to the slide I just told you to leave. Edith, here's Route 145 right here. And Clarksville Pond Road. That's Route 3. That's 145, isn't it?
Yeah.
They were going to come down through this area here where my pointer is. Now they're over here. I've driven that. I would guess it's in that location about 3 miles to the east. But what they're doing is they're staying as far east as they can without going into conservation land involved in the Headwaters or Coleman State Park. I think that's the... You know, and if I were looking for a route to the east, and I'm not a transmission guy or anything else, but I understand the constraints that they have, that's probably where I'd be looking too. But it is no small feat having interviewed and the folks that did the interviews of all these landowners by phone and in person to put this together. And frankly, we shouldn't have to do that work. We should be told what's going on. But they don't want us to know because they want everybody to think it's inevitable. that you should all be scared and you should all sell out. And one of the reasons we're having the meeting is to let you know that everybody isn't scared and everybody isn't selling out. We want everybody to know that no one's really safe, because if they don't get this route, they'll come back to the original one and try that, or they'll try another way. Coming down into, the next slide now, Rick. This is the Colebrook line right here. And that is, what's that road, Marty, you? Just north of the Colebrook line. Heath Road, yeah, okay. Bear Rock is in here too. We know they want to cross probably just to the west of Diamond Pond Road, which is here, going up into, here's Coleman State Park, Diamond Pond Road. Looks like they're crossing into it. And then across the very northeast corner of Colebrook to the Dixville line, which is right in here. I don't know where they go from there. They could go east. They could go south. We just don't know. We don't have any information that they've been buying up land here to the south, at least in the small parcels. They're probably talking to larger landowners in that area privately. If you could go to the next slide, Rick, I'll show you where some recorded purchases have been made. Is this Columbia Dixville? Where are my orange circles? Ah, there they are. Okay. This is Route 26. The Balsam Ski Area is over here, just off the map. The Columbia line is right there. And just below the Columbia line, Properties, Inc. has purchased several hundred acres in Columbia and in Dixville, just to the west of Dixville Peak, where the windmills are going up. Granite Reliable, thank you, is going up. That's from the same folks that they purchased their landing in Pittsburgh from, the Kings Arrow Realty Trust. That's run by a couple of people out of Maine, I understand. So they've made this isolated purchase here. Perhaps it's a contingency. Perhaps it's on their route. We don't know. They've also just closed a purchase from the same people way over on the west side. Where's my circle? I can't see it. Oh, there it is, right there. Oh, it's really tough to read. Folks, I've got my pointer on Cree Notch. Everyone know where Cree Notch is? Well, here's the bad news. It's on the original route. when this line, the original route, was going to come up between Marshall Hill and what's the other hill road over there? And Carlton, yes, Carlton Hill. Anyway, it has to go through Cree Notch, according to the original. There's no alternatives. That was their original preferred route. And we don't know whether they agreed to buy this back in the spring when they bought the other properties and just closed it now, or whether this is an afterthought, just to make sure that those of us that are watching the land records don't think that we're safe. So my message is to you, none of us are safe, but we're sure going to fight. And frankly, they've done us a favor by doing that, because no one should feel comfortable. In fact, no one anywhere in the state of New Hampshire should feel comfortable, because this project has so much at stake for the proponents of it. $68 million a year for the U.S. contingent, and a billion or more a year in revenue for Hydro-Québec, who desperately needs to sell power that it's building facilities now to sell, and if it can't sell it, I'm not sure where the market is. So part of the work that's being done up in Canada, these massive projects, is in anticipation of having a market in the United States. So there's a lot of money that they're going to throw at it to get through one way or the other. Okay. What are the land agents doing other than visiting you in your home and drinking your coffee? They don't want anybody else in the room. They want you to be impressed by the total dollar value of the deal that they're going to offer if you're sitting with one of these land agents. What are the prices they're offering? Well, I've seen purchases $2,000 an acre. I've seen $3,000 an acre. I've seen $4,000. I've seen $5,000. I've seen $6,000. Anyone want to go to $7,000? $7,500. There we go. Depending on where it is, how badly it's needed, whether there's a house on it, whether there's a barn on it, you know, those are things, whether it's a small lot or a large lot, and those things do make a difference. But the fact is they're spending 2, 3, 4 times what the property is worth to get you, to induce you to buy it. But don't spend the money if you sign the contract, because the contract has a deposit only of 5, 10, I've heard 50 and a big one. But the deposits are not the purchase price. And the contract that I saw, I've seen one, had a provision that Northern Pass, or its nominee, in this case it was Renewable Properties, Inc., could walk away from the deal. And all it would have to pay is the deposit. So for $5,000, they had what? They had an option to purchase for as long as they could spin it out. And the closing date, yeah, there was a closing date, 90, 120, 180 days, whatever it was in the future. But the closing could be put off if they needed to do inspections, environmental work. Other contingencies could occur. These contracts that they wrote, because they didn't put time as of the essence, could be spun out for quite a bit of time. So the people who thought, gee, I've got a solid deal for $160,000. No, you have a solid deal for the $5,000 deposit, and that's all you got. They don't tell you that when they visit and drink your coffee. They tell you, we're going to buy your land for $160,000. Isn't that great? Now, what happens if the seller wants to walk away from the contract? The contract says, you can't do that. We can specifically enforce this contract by taking you to court. So what's good for the goose is not good for the gander. A lawyer would negotiate other terms, believe me. So my advice to anybody who even thinks about talking to these people is to tell them, I'll meet you in my lawyer's office, or I'll meet you at a local restaurant, and my friend who has some legal training will be with me. You know what they're going to tell you? Meetings off. Which brings me to another tactic. They met with a landowner from out of area who made a special trip to come and meet with them. That landowner was smart enough to know, I'd like to have someone be there with me. And she told them that she would have a friend. And she told them who it was. And she said, and I'm not signing anything at this meeting. So they called her the next day, just the day before the meeting, and said, we're canceling the meeting. Something came up. They came anyway. Why did they come? Because they thought perhaps the friend wouldn't be there. That's my guess. Fortunately for the landowner, the friend stopped over anyway. Was that a nice thing to do? You can answer that. In another situation, contract I saw, the land agents told the landowner, we want to buy a certain strip of land at the back of your property. And there were exhibits, and it was a little complicated, and there was some kind of a give-back provision at the bottom the landowner didn't understand. In fact, what they were buying was the entire 350-acre parcel of land. And then they were going to give him back what they didn't need for access. So that landowner had no idea that they could put access across his land anywhere they wanted That would be up to them under this contract. And what kind of access? I mean, what kind of heavy equipment? Miles back there of construction equipment, miles of construction area, and you can imagine the kinds of construction equipment they might roll across his land. They didn't explain that to him. Is that fair? You can answer that.